The question I'm about to ask is so easy, I should clarify at the outset that it is not intended to insult your intelligence. Here it is. Which is bigger in size? The quarter that I have in my hand, or the sun which is up in the sky? Anyone who has learned anything about the sun, of course, knows the correct answer. But imagine if all of you were just toddlers or youngsters, people who hadn't learned much about nature. It's entirely possible that such a child would answer that the quarter is larger, for if I hold the quarter real close to my eye and close the other eye, I can block out the entire sun. To say that the quarter is larger than the sun, however, would be to reveal a complete loss of proper perspective and a lack of proper understanding. But it is such a lack of perspective and lack of understanding that can often emerge in our own assessing of our various problems when compared with the power of God. That can happen to us as it happened to Peter one dark and stormy night. As Jesus was walking on water toward the disciples that night, Peter saw him and said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they came into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Surely you are the Son of God." Consider some of the similarities between the Son of God and the sun up in the sky. For one thing, the sun in the sky is the center of the solar system, that around which other things revolve. Jesus, however, is the center of much more. He's the center of all things, everything that exists. By him all things were created, that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Secondly, the sun is a great source of energy, as is Jesus. The scriptures ascribe to him glorious power, with whom nothing is impossible. And of course, just as the physical sun gives us light, Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The sun in the sky and the Son of God are similar in these ways, but their dissimilarities are even more striking. The sun in the sky pales by comparison to the Son of God. He is living, not inanimate. He is the creator, not a creation. And he is very near, as he was to the disciples the night of our text. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. In the middle of the night, the sun appeared. The Son of God stood before his friends and, as he had done so many times before, reassuringly put his power on display. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. The power of Christ enabled Peter to walk on water. He caused Peter to beat seemingly impossible odds. He suspended the very laws of nature so that Peter could pass over to him, and Christians have been walking on water ever since. Not literally, perhaps, but figuratively. Through the ages, the Lord has enabled his people to succeed in the midst of tremendous difficulties. Perhaps you've spoken with an elder Christian who has looked back and recalled and been amazed by the way in which the Lord preserved him or her through times in which all tangible signs of support seemed to liquefy beneath them. Jesus uses his unparalleled power to preserve his own. But something went wrong. All of a sudden, Peter began to sink. He found himself surrounded by mammoth waves and was soon reaching out to Jesus in desperation. What happened? He allowed a problem to block his vision of the power of the Christ. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. The towering winds produced these mammoth waves, which made for an awesome sight, and Peter temporarily concluded that the power of the waves was greater than the power of the Son of God, in much the same way that a child might perceive that the quarter is actually larger than the sun. And that's what can happen to us. We can find ourselves focusing more intently on the issue, on the problem, on the concern, than on the power of the Lord, thereby losing proper perspective and robbing ourselves of peace of mind. Imagine how worry-free we all could be if we continually focused on the supreme power of the Master. Paul assures us that the Lord who loves us is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And to emphasize the fact that nothing is outside of his control, we're told that Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. If we were able to hold up the quarter directly next to the sun, we would see how ridiculously tiny and insignificant it is by comparison. So also with our problems. When we place a concern or a problem next to the power of the Lord and compare the size of our problem with the size of his power, we will see that nothing is too big for him to handle. From the forces of nature that so often fill the headlines with their dramatic effects, to the report of world leaders who can be so vicious and ruthless at times, to epidemics that can emerge now and then and cause great chaos, to our own personal difficulties and distresses, all their strength put together is minute compared to the magnificence of the Lord. The one who enabled Peter to walk on the water was also in complete control of the waves that surrounded him, and he retains that power over all things even now. At times it may be his will that difficulties and distresses come into our lives. This very same Peter, later on in his life, was bound and taken somewhere he did not want to go. At other times, the Lord allows for smooth sailing. In either case, his will remains holy, perfect, and wise, only allowing difficulties if they will somehow serve us in a good way. Isaiah assures us that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. The only problem that can arise is that which Jesus diagnosed on the Sea of Galilee as a littleness of faith. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "Why did you doubt?" And when they came into the boat, the wind ceased. There's never any basis for us to doubt Christ's love or power. With him nearby, we all have every reason to feel perfectly calm, even if storms of various kinds are swirling about us. So may the Spirit enable us to keep a proper perspective as we compare the size of our problems with the size of Christ's power. And may the Spirit strengthen the faith spoken of in this text, faith in Jesus, for whose sake our sins receive no condemnation, and for whom our problems are no problem. We sing of his power in the form of hymn 514, the first four stanzas, hymn 514.